First of all, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you. Obviously, live would always be better, but I hope that things at least for you in your own quarantine, which I assume you're in right now, I hope that it's going well. I hope that things are more or less smooth and that you're able to enjoy each other's company. Hopefully that can all be done in a nice way for all of you. And again, certainly it has its challenges. The guys here in the yeshiva have been, they get out, I believe, on Thursday. So I'm certainly a bit familiar with the ups and downs and some of the challenges that come with it. And I hope that things really go well. And it's obviously a wonderful thing to be able to be in Eretz Yisrael. And even though currently some of the opportunities to really go around are maybe not there the same way, hopefully the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael can very much be there. So I sent my brother a couple of different topics to choose from. He was interested in something, I think, a little bit out of the box. So I figured we would go a little bit out of the box and to explore something which I think is, on the one hand, fascinating. It requires us to sort of get sensitive and be aware of something which is maybe not focused on or emphasized as much, yet at the same time, I believe is really very powerful and very important. And let's begin in the following way. In general, in many of the Sifrei Machshava, there are those who distinguish between three sort of realms. Machshava, our thoughts; Dibor, the way we speak; and Maisa, the actions that we perform. Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. I imagine for many of us, certainly for me, in terms of what gets the primary sort of like focus in our time learning and in our time, generally speaking, religiously, we tend to focus a whole lot on Maisa, the mitzvos that we do, the actions that we do, that tends to get a lot of credit and a lot of emphasis. The Dibor, you know, people speak a lot about, I think appropriately, the proper and correct manner of speaking. The Chafetz Chaim certainly put the world of Dibor very much on our radar. And the realm of Machshava, so sometimes in a certain sense, thoughts, and the importance of cultivating certain kinds of thoughts sometimes doesn't get the same degree of sort of press, the same degree of emphasis. And we're speaking about today a wildly fascinating thinker, a name that many of us have probably heard of, although I think, interestingly enough, this component of his thought, which academics have picked up on and emphasized, and many, I think, have missed a bit as far as in our own world in learning his Sfarim. And we're speaking about the Piazetzner Rebbe, the author of the Sefer Eish Kodesh. Eish Kodesh, many of us may know that Piazetzner Rebbe passed away in the Holocaust, a very important educator, the author, I think, most famously of two Sfarim, one of them Eish Kodesh, the drushes he gave in the Warsaw Ghetto, and the other Chovas HaTalmidim, unique in that it's a Musar Sefer written primarily for adolescents, which is in and of itself enough of a Chiddush. There is something that sort of runs through his thought, which is fascinating, and I think in many ways we'll point out elements of come from his ancestors, and we'll try to develop a couple of ideas. In general, the world of imagination and the world of thought, if you go through certain Musar Sfarim, so you'll find those who write that in truth it's a little bit of a mistake, and that Machshavas in general, a primary goal when it comes to our thoughts, is to control them, to make sure they don't go to bad places, to make sure that they're focused, you know, not on the wrong things. And for the Piazetzner Rebbe, one finds something fascinating, which is throughout his Sfarim, and we'll speak about some of the lesser known Sfarim, but he is a huge believer that for a person to be maximally successful in Avodas Hashem, it is critical that they cultivate in particular their imaginative skills, the ability to imagine things. In a very, very real way, he even set up groups of people. He wrote a sefer called B'nei Machshava Tova, which was a small sefer written up for having small groups come together that were going to work on their machshava. And in a certain sense, he was a believer in engaging in techniques, in skills, to help a person there of Avodas Hashem, that he thought that not just that machshavas are important, but our learning, our davening, our tshuva, that so many things we do will be radically different if we know how to properly conjure up a variety of images,
And we're going to explain what those are, but we'll begin with the following. There are two sources in the beginning that come from his ancestors. One comes from Rav Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, the author of Noam Elimelech, who wrote a small sort of piece called Tzetel Katan. Tzetel Katan of the Noam Elimelech are short pieces of advice in Avodas Hashem. We're going to read what he wrote in Os Aleph. You can get it online if you want, Tzetel Katan. It's a very intense piece. I'm intrigued less for now on just the intensity, which may almost like scare us or come off as far as very, very a lot. But nevertheless, I believe that it is that it's an idea which highlights something important. B'chol eis v'rega shu panoi min haTorah. Rabbi Elimelech writes, Noam Elimelech, that whenever you are free from learning, whenever you're not engaged in any sort of positive religious activity, u'v'frat shu yoshev batel levado b'cheder, you're sitting in a room and you're essentially alone, or you're shochev al mitasov enu yachol lishon, I'm up late at night, I'm jet lagged, I'm sitting on my bed, I can't fall asleep, and I'm wondering what to do. Okay, that's a question which happens for many. Instinctively, many of us probably go and grab our phones. Many of us, I imagine, look for a sefer or something. I don't know. But we have things that we would do. What does Rebbe Elimelech suggest you do? Yihyeh mahaher b'mitzvahs aseh shal v'iskadashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. You should think of the mitzvah of being mekadesh shem shamayim. Mekadesh shem shamayim. And here we mean not the kiddush Hashem of like, before you go on a trip, make sure you say thank you and things like that. He means kiddush Hashem, like giving your life for Hashem. Now, he could have ended there, but here's where he goes, which I think is intriguing. The yidmeh b'nafsho, you should imagine. The yitzayir b'machshavaso, you should conjure up the image in your mind. Ke'ilu and picture. Eish gadol v'nora bo'er lefanav adlev shamayim. That there is a massive fire that is in front of you and going all the way up to Shemayim, v'hu b'shvil kedushas Hashem yisbarach, and me, as a result of being mekadesh Hashem, I am shover as tivo, I'm breaking my nature, umapil as atzmo leha'esh al kedush Hashem yisbarach, and I'm going to jump on that fire in order to be mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Okay. That is obviously an exceptionally intense way to spend your free time, is that when you're lying in bed and you can't fall asleep, that's not a technique to be able to have an easier time falling asleep. What's most intriguing for us, Lada'ati, for now, is this tool that he's using. What do? You don't just think about something, but it's important that you develop a particular image. It's important that you picture in your own head the image of a fire, and that you sort of go through the process. Many of us, I think what often happens, some of the Talmidim of Rav Kook have spoken about this, you know, when kids tend to naturally be very imaginative, my 4-year-old, about to turn 5, is amazingly imaginative. My 11-year-old, my 12-year-old, we always joke about him that he had no imagination at all as a kid. He could spend hours building Lego, but the second he finished the instructions of building Lego, he was sort of like, done. Like, what do I do with it now? My 4 or 5-year-old can play with toys, you know, the whole day. He, like, the best thing is, like, to, like, listen into him as he speaks out loud. And, like, just, the oddest things he is creating when he's playing. So, but some of these skills of imagining. So we think about, I want to think about good thoughts. But conjuring up images is something which, for many of us, we do as kids and then stop. And for the Noam Elimelech, it's an important thing to be able to do. For him, it has inherent value. It has inherent value because if you think these thoughts, Machshava Tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa Lemaisa, a reference to the Gemara in Kiddushin, Hashem values our thoughts as if we actually did the activities. That's one ancestor of the Piazetzner. He had a grandfather on his mother's side. His name, the Piazetzner, was Rav Kalanimus Kalmus Shapira. He was named after his mother's, his grandfather's maternal grandfather, who wrote a sefer called Me'or V'Shemesh. Me'or V'Shemesh is written by Rav Kalanimus Kalman Epstein. So he's named after him. The Me'or V'Shemesh in Parshas Miketz also has a similar theme, although it's not dominant in his thought. But he writes the following. He describes, he's from a world of Hasidus that very much values tzaddikim. And he writes, when you go to a tzaddik and you ask a tzaddik to daven for you, and your goal of asking him is because I want a particular result. A person is sick, Rachmana Litzlan. A person is in need of money. A person's in need of something in this world, and they go to a tzaddik. In the world of Mor v'Shemesh, that's what you would do. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us, if you have a chola b'soch beso yelich etzel chacham, if a person has someone sick in their home, they should go to a chacham to daven. So you go to a tzaddik, and in Chassidus, the expectation is that tzaddik, by virtue of his elevated status, will be able to affect a certain kind of change, will be able to impact a particular reality. So you go to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik's trying to solve your problem. And says Mo'or v'Shemesh, the goal of the tzaddik is not to wow you, and not to show you, look at the cool tricks that I could do. It's not like a TV show where there's a magician, and he's able to solve things, and you walk away and you say, that was awesome. So cool that he was able to do that. Rather, the ultimate goal of the tzaddik is the following. He's doing this activity, and you are supposed to, as a result of witnessing this activity, you are supposed to then be inspired by the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm moved that look, Hashem, look how you value tzaddikim, look how you respect what they wanted. I'm able to see all that you did. And when I can see what you did, it's going to remind me and inspire me to be able to remember Hashem and to strive in my own avodah to be better. And says the Mor v'Shemesh as follows, and here's an interesting thing. Gam shamati mit tzaddikim etza alza. He says, I even heard a piece of advice. What's the advice? She'adam yitzayir b'machshavaso, tzuras oso hatzadik, she'hifelo mevukasho. That if I went to a particularly righteous person who did daven for me, and my davening, my tefillos were answered, and I got what I wanted, you should conjure up in your head the image, not to just remember a tzadik, but to yitzayir b'machshavaso, to have it, the image of him in your head, and as a result of that, v'ayadeze yizkor tamid, then you'll always be able to uplift yourself. You'll always be able to remember the Ribbono Shel Olam as a result. The Mor v'Shemesh says, Derech Agav, it's an amazingly intriguing read on a medrash. We're not going to say the whole idea, because that's what Yosef was telling the Shar HaMashkim. He was telling, why did Yosef tell him, when you get out, remember me? It wasn't because I want you to remember me and I'm totally relying upon you. It's that I want you to remember me because I'm the tzaddik who helped you. And the more that you think about me, said Yosef to the Shar HaMashkim, the more you're going to have a certain kind of positive thoughts about me, but really about the Ribbono Shel Olam and how Hashem provided you with insight when you were in prison, when you were in that bar, and it's going to uplift and strengthen you, and ultimately be better for Yosef also. What we see as far as just initially a little bit, to lay the groundwork a bit, is that there are particular thinkers. It's not something which one finds as often in our regular learning, but there are thinkers that maintain that at least in certain circumstances, if you want to cultivate a certain kind of religious perspective, it's important to be able not just to perform actions, not even just to speak appropriately, even to think generally about certain thoughts, but to work on being able to have for us individual images, and that those images are going to be dominant or can play a major role. The thinker that at least many maintain is most capable or most emphasized this need of working on our imaginations is the Piasetzner Rebbe. The Piasetzner, a variety of academics have written beautiful, wonderful articles about this, pulling together from so many of his different Sfarim, wonderfully, I think, powerful Torah, which he maintained can really change lots of things. And I want to learn with you probably three or four different pieces from the writings of the Piasetzner that I think can help us in a practical sense and also in a broader sense give us an appreciation for what he did. So one of the Sfarim he wrote was a sefer called Savazeras. Savazeras, many of us may know this, there were Gedolei Yisrael that wrote autobiographies. It's like a fascinating genre of work to read the memoirs of different Gedolei Yisrael. Savazeras is not an autobiography, it's not memoirs, but it's like the spiritual diary of the Piasetzner Rebbe. He was writing down his thoughts. It's not about developing sources, it's not about, you know, quoting Rambams and explaining how it fits. It's really about being able for him to be open in a deep and personal way about Avodas Hashem. So in Savazeras Os Beis, One, again, we're learning about Torah, the Pi Zetzner, cultivating our imagination. This is a Torah which in the yeshiva here I speak about, I try every couple of years, I speak about this with the guys at Elul time, because it is such an amazingly important tool in our Avodas Hashem. Let's clarify, we'll try to read it carefully. I apologize if the source, for some reason, the file's not going through on the chat. I apologize for that. We'll see what we can do. Says the piece that's as follows. If a person is growth-oriented, if a person has desires, tzav v'zeiras os beis, if a person has desires to elevate themselves religiously, I don't want to be when I'm 70 the same way I was when I became a halachic gadol. I don't want to be that when I'm a kid and I turn, when I had my bar mitzvah, I don't want to be the same person when I'm 70. I want to be different. So what do I do in order to ensure that I'm going to be different? Every year, you should have a goal. Okay, many speak about that. What is the goal I should be having? Tzir ba'atzmecha. You should have the image in your head. Im shimcha Ruvain l'mashal. If your name is Ruvain, as an example, eze Ruvain tiyeh b'shana haba. What Ruvain, what version of you do you want to be next year? Ma yu hasagosav. What are going to be your, what will you attain? Avodaso midosav. What's going to be your character trait? V'haruvain hadimyoni. So I have this image of who I ideally want to be, what I want to look like 1 year from now. I have the image of what I could look like a year from now. And it's not just a thought of, I wish I would bench with more kavana. That's not what it's about. It's about having a version of how you look and envisioning the way that you want that person to look and behave a year from now. Like Yehuda Turetsky, 1 year from now, what's he going to look like? How's he going to act? And not just to say I want to be better at benching, but I want to picture myself at the table with the bencher open, and what does that benching actually look like? So he says, what do? I have that image, and that image is me a year from now. But when I have that image of me from a year from now, so all the time, every day when I bench, I want to look at that image and say, am I making enough progress to reach that point a year from now? To reach that point a year from now. And it's going to be one of the things which I focus on before I bench. And if I have my image of the ideal Yehuda Turetsky from a year from now, what's his davening going to look like? So I have my model of what to look like, meaning, says the P. Zetzner, in a very intriguing way. Many of us know that one of the hardest things in Avodas Hashem is that we don't get grades. Hashem doesn't give us, like, you know, midterm grades. And we can know, like, so am I doing okay or not doing okay? Like, wouldn't it be great if we could get that for a little bit? Like, by the way, he's like, you're good. Don't worry about it. Or it's, whoa. You call that davening? Let's get cracking a little bit. Like, it'd be so helpful, so clear if we could be able to. We don't have that. And one of the challenges is so much of Avodas Hashem, even as far as envisioning personal growth, I think many of us, I know this is a challenge for me, but I imagine for many, it's hard to quantify what it means to be better at benching, what it means to be better at davening, more kavana. Well, how much more? I'm a 7 now, I want to become a 13? Like, what does that look like exactly? The Pizetzer is trying to solve that problem and honing in on the fact that specific goals are really the way to go. And if I have specific goals, and here the goal is the mental image of what I could look like. And that mental image just has to be healthy, has to be responsible, and has to be the kind of thing which I'll be able to attain. And he suggests that this is pshat in the pasuk, the Avraham zaken ba biyamim. That Avraham was old; he had many, many days. And says the Pi Zetzner, the Torah of Avraham, what does it mean ba biyamim? That Avraham shall hayom, hayash shall hayom, v'loa Avraham shall etmol. Avraham had lots of days; each day of his life, he was different than the previous day. He was growth-oriented. And for the Pi Zetzner, the general perspective of what we're striving for, the general perspective, is to be able to cultivate a certain kind of perspective and worldview in which we have images of what we could be. That's our model. Those are our aspirations. And being like Avram, each day I'm different, always comparing myself to a year from now what I want it to look like, and that's an image I can come back to, the image I can come back to time and time again, time and time again. That's one Torah of the Piyaz Etzner as far as conjuring up images that I think can be very important. Torah number two of the Piyaz Etzner is a piece in Chovas HaTalmidim Perek Tes. We're in the ninth chapter of Chovas HaTalmidim, and suggests the following. One second. Says the piece that's like this. Vidalecha, you should know. Tagami tzadikenu mikidoshenu zchus yagan aleinu. That from our tzadikim, meaning from those who come before us, that alu viskaru l'Hashem yoser mikfisha anu mesigim, that there were tzadikim able to reach levels way above and beyond what we were able to reach. Gam mehem, also for them, bereishis avodasam. So in the beginning of their avoda, when they were trying to become bigger people, they were trying to become greater people, they're trying to become more elevated people, what did they do? Hishtamshu lifamim beofanum ve'emtzaim. They used tricks. They used techniques. These big tzaddikim, when they were younger. So many of us know that, you know, there's like this big critique, at least, you know, about in the 1980s, I think, there were some articles critiquing art school biographies. You know, they were like too simplistic and everyone's a tzaddik the whole time. So in truth, I'm not sure it's an accurate critique of a lot of art school biographies, but Rav Hudner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Hudner wrote a letter where he, you know, described the challenge and the chinuch error of people thinking the Chavetz Chaim, you know, was born as a person that never spoke Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim was born as a person that didn't have to work on himself. And real tzaddikim, real righteous people, worked on themselves. We know there are stories about some giants who they say were not that intelligent, but just worked very hard. That they say about certain figures. We know that there are giants that they say had a very hard time being interested or engaged in learning when they were younger. I'm very fond of a Maisa, which we're not going to quote right now fully, but the Shomer Emunim, if you ever go to Mea Sha'arim, Toldos Aaron, Toldos Avram Yitzchak, Reb Arula, it's a very intense chassidim. The founding Rebbe, the Shomer Emunim, describes at one point his learning, that when he learned, this is a direct quote, Ta'amti ta'am misa mamish b'chol dibor v'dibor. I tasted the taste of death in every single piece of learning that I had at a particular stage in his life. And there are a lot of righteous people that have gone through ups and downs as far as their own learning. And a lot of them had to work very hard to become who they were. So says the Piyazetz, there were a lot of tzaddikim that had to use these tricks a little bit. And in particular, he focuses here on davening. What trick would they use when it came to davening? The mashal beveis Aharon Isan, the sefer called Beis Aharon, it says, Shatzadikim hayu misharim be'atzmam. Now, in particular, in a couple of places, you think that davening is very hard without mental images. I'm davening to Hashem that I can't see. I'm davening to Hashem that, the Rambam writes, has no body. And if you believe that God has a body, you are considered to be a heretic, Rambam writes in the Chaschuva. So I'm sitting in shul and I'm davening, but it's hard to focus sometimes. So he says some tzaddikim for davening would have the image, Shehem shochvim b'yisurim b'kever. They were like lying in a grave almost in pain. Uva echad v'omer lo, kum amor v'spalo. And someone told him, now go daven. And these people would sort of have these like, mitzayir zos b'machshava chazaka. And he says in general, when it comes to davening, so that image maybe is very, very intense. But to have particular images that come up in your head can be very valuable. Ad kedei kach, then the Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova, the Piyaz Etzner says something which is actually incredibly wild. We mentioned before, I remember when I was in, I think, eighth grade, a graduate of SAR Elementary School. So when I was in eighth grade, I had a teacher, wonderful, wonderful, he's written some smart, amazing person, who at one point had us do something which is actually really, I think, an interesting halachic question. He's a very knowledgeable guy, and I'm sure if he did it, it's great. But he had us, when you're a child sometimes, you have a picture of what you think Hashem looks like. I think many people do when they're a kid, like, what's that image of what Hashem looks like? So he had us in eighth grade at one point draw that image. Draw that image. Okay, it was intriguing. It was a particular exercise to see, like, what do different people envision? How old is God? How young is God? You know, what gender? Is there a long beard? Not a long beard? What kind of yarmulke? You know, there different people have different images as far as what it looks like, as far as what God would look like. Let's draw it a little bit. Says the Piyazetzner in Sefer B'nei Machshav Atova, he says, you know, there was a guy who came to him once and said, Im hayisi yochel etzari lefanai ezed mus b'shah shani omi lefnei Hashem yisbarach b'tefillah. He says, you know what would help my davening a lot? It would help my davening if I could draw right in front of me. I daven, I have a shtender. I could have on that shtender right in front of me a particular picture. And that picture, I would feel like I was davening to Hashem, but that picture would help me focus a little bit. That picture would have me be intentionally aware of what's going on. So can I do that or not? So says the Piyazetzner, this is a halachic observation that is, I find to be really fascinating. Lachena is, some say it earlier, I think also, b'matzav kazeh, b'reishis gidol v'aschar v'smachshavaso. So we're trying to build for the Piyazetzner. One of the things an Ovid Hashem does is get better at conjuring up mental images over time. Images of things that will, religious opportunities, images of the ideal you. And we get better at our imagination. But if you're not there in the beginning, he thinks, you know, there's a machlokas harishonim. The Rambam says God doesn't have a body. And if you believe that God has a body, you are a heretic. You're a heretic. The Ravid writes there, no, Rambam, there are people greater than you. There are people greater than you that thought that God may have had a body. I think Rav Moshe Taku, one of the Rishonim, said, if you believe that God couldn't have a body, you're a heretic. God can do whatever he wants. But the Rambam is the dominant of the Rishonim, that God did not have a body. And it's heresy, it's kfira to envision otherwise. Says the Piyazetzner, if you wanted to rely on the Ravid at the beginning of your avoda, you wanted to use your image of what Hashem maybe looks like on some level, Kadesha tucha machshavasa leheyaches ulis gada ulis rachiv. Not as an end game, but it helps develop your thoughts a little bit. It helps you focus. It helps you envision. It helps you imagine. If you're able to do that, so then he thinks that's mutter. That's mutter. So in a certain sense, for the Piyazetzner, we've seen, or to summarize thus far, we've really seen a bunch of different images that a person can conjure up. We saw, number one, in the Noam Elimelech, this image of the fire, a very, intense image of Kiddush Hashem. We saw for the Me'or V'Shem as a classically, Hasidic image, an image of a tzaddik that provided you with a certain salvation, and that reminding you of Hashem. For the Piyazetzner, it's not those two. It's number one, the image of yourself and the ideal you a year from now, and the image sometimes of almost like a physical Ribbono Shel Olam, a physical Ribbono Shel Olam, to be able to help you develop broader and better thoughts. To be able to do that, so then we know that we're going to be in a very, very different place if we're able to do that well. So there are all these images. I want to give one more example and then share some reflections upon this that hopefully can be a little bit helpful. Give me one second. I apologize for this. Okay. You know what? Maybe we'll... Let's pause for a moment. Pause for a moment. What are the benefits? And here, if we can get some feedback, that'd be great. I know we're on Zoom. I know that we're not, you know. What are the benefits of building your imagination? What motivates the Piyazetzner to think that that is a key towards being able to be an ideal Jew? What are the advantages of his emphasizing the role of imagination and the role of conjuring up images? What motivates him to suggest that? Yeah.
Okay. I can imagine people can detect where you want to be. And especially that's something like I think
there's people out there, right? Wait, sorry. There has to be a better way to do this. I don't know. This is the problem. I haven't yet, I don't have the opportunity to know you really, so I don't know names. On the Alana Silken, I guess, group, can whoever's sitting in the middle, I don't know who that is, but that's all I got. If we can start with you, that'd be great, and then we'll go to the Avital group, I guess. Yeah, Alana, or your group.
Okay, I'm Shoshana. I was saying, though, that if you can imagine yourself doing something, you're more likely to do it, especially if it's something like an inspiring effort, then you're more likely to do it later on.
Okay, great. That's actually what the Pizetner writes in a certain sense, that like some of these tools, it's a great point, Shana, that some of these tools are, you know, it's hard sometimes to do something. I don't think anyone's ever done this, but it's hard to sometimes to like perform a particular mitzvah. But if we've built in our own, we've envisioned what it's going to look like, it makes it on some level more attainable. I'll tell you an example. Some of my kids are starting school tomorrow. One of my kids had to enter on some level quarantine today because he started last week and a kid in his class tested positive. But for the kids who are starting tomorrow, so fun times here. So if it's like an optional quarantine, it's complicated. It's not a formal legal quarantine. But for one of my kids who gets a little bit nervous about what's gone going to look like, what's school going to look like, so sometimes having them like envision it makes it a little bit less scary and a little bit more real. That what it's able to do is to give them like, okay, how bad could it really be? And what's it most likely to look like? You're going to walk in and what's the room going to be? And sometimes it makes it more attainable and a little bit less scary. And that is one of the challenges. And the Pizetner writes actually on page 12 of B'nai Machshava Tova that, you know, in the world in which we live, in which, you know, it's hard. Things are challenging for us. Things are hard for us. I mean, it's open to be honest. It's important to be honest about that and open about that. If we're able to envision, in a certain sense, us performing certain actions, and even the ideal me a year from now, it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to look that different, the ideal me of a year from now. It's a better version of myself, so growth isn't as scary. You know, I speak sometimes to the guys here about how there's horizontal growth and vertical growth. Horizontal is left to right hashkafic growth. You were more left wing and now you're more right wing. You're moving right to left. That's one area. There's also vertical growth. I haven't changed my opinions on the state of Israel. I haven't changed my opinions on women's issues or secular studies. But as I'm a more engaged Jew, I've grown vertically, not left to right. When you conjure up images, so when it's an image which you can tolerate, it's not too far. It's not. I'm a believer in vertical movement being the way to go, by and large. So, again, by and large, obviously there are exceptions. But when I want to move up vertically, so I want to do it in a way where it's not as scary. And images make things a little bit less scary, and it allows me to prepare in a certain sense. Yeah, on the Avital group, someone had a comment.
That you have to see it to believe it. That, like, even if, let's say, you know, let's say I want to be somebody who davens three times a day or whatever, like, to have these, like, statements is one thing, but when you really, like, have these images of, like, this is really exactly where I want to be, it much more, like, makes it real, not just, like, in your head, I know what I want to be, but, like, it almost brings it down to, like, a type of experience.
Great. I think that's very much true. I think it also forces you to almost to pin things down more in a more focused and specific way. You know, it's enough to say, like, the whole thing of, like, I want to daven, I want to be better at davening. But if I don't have an image there, it's very sort of vague, it's very sort of out there, and it's really not as focused or as sort of direct in a way which is going to present certain challenges. I think there's a hand on the other group. Is that possible?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing okay. What's up?
I'm not sure I understood the question, but another thing that I was thinking is, like, where we get the idea of images from is, like, very much seeing the wealth and, like when we are able to see that, like, it plays into it, but
totally.
When we're able to grow them.
Totally. There's far enough to speak about that, even, as far as, like, when you davish from an esrei, like, es semach david, v'li Yerushalayim ircha, that the image of what that looks like is going to ultimately be is ultimately going to be very, very powerful. The more that you can envision, the more it becomes real. I'll give you another sort of, I don't, the PSDF does not give this example to my knowledge, but I think it's an additional benefit towards, you know, conjuring things up a bit. I don't know if any of you have ever had to, and any of your, like, you worked as a counselor in camp, or you had anything, you know, yaha, whatever it is, where you have to engage in these training sessions where you role play, a bit. And one of the goals of role playing is that when you're there, so I remember when I was in Smicha, I had gotten married one year I was in Smicha, and I was in like a couples counseling rabbinic training class. And every week we had to, like, different like role playing that would take place. And it wasn't just that it makes it more real when you are trying to, you know, instead of telling you this is how you meet with a couple and speak to them, but you have to act out itself. But sometimes what ends up happening is that when you have anticipated certain events or certain situations, you are infinitely more ready for them when they actually come. That if I have images in my head, sometimes not just the ideal me, but what are the circumstances going to look like, so that I'm better prepared to handle them because I've thought more about them in the past. So as an example, you know, you're with roommates, and my image is me being the kind of person that doesn't speak Lashon Hara. I don't speak badly about other people. I want to avoid, I want to cultivate a certain kind of speech. So when I have that image, one of the things you may be forced to sort of pin down a little bit is, how do I look in the context of friends? And how do I look, what's going to happen in those situations? What does the ideal me do when I'm at a table and someone there brings up a topic that I'm nervous is going to go in a bad direction? And the more that you have anticipated that situation in advance, the more that I've not just thought about it, but the image, it's very real. I can pause and think and decide, and many of these things that are situations that we could anticipate being in. And the more that I have an image of what I would really do, number one, I may know what to do. Number two, I may be infinitely less scared. I may be less concerned to act on them because I can anticipate. I know what I would do. I know how I would handle this in a very different way. And in that sense, building on and having some of these skills is something which can be very helpful. The Piazetzner himself, I believe, in Chovas HaTalmidim, points out that this is why in Avodas Hashem, if you just have intellectual learning, now I want to clarify, intellectual learning is critically important. It's the basis of so much of what we do. The knowledge of how to handle situations, the world of sugyas, the world of halacha, the world of content, text-based, rigorous, analytical learning is critical. But there are elements of Avodas Hashem, says the Piazetzner, that iyun haseichel, that just analysis will not sufficiently prepare us for. You know, I heard about a certain very insightful person that he said that when he finished writing his Sefer on Tefillah, he never davened as badly as after he finished writing his Sefer on Tefillah. Because if Tefillah becomes purely intellectual and you assess it too much, purely in an intellectual manner, so sometimes that can take a toll. Sometimes that can make it more challenging for us to be able to daven in as good a way as possible, because davening requires a certain kind of spirituality, requires a certain kind of emotional connection. I believe that learning the sugyas of tefillah can lead a person to an increased emotional connection, but only if they actually try to cultivate that. And says the Piazetzner, if it's too much iyun haseichel and not enough sort of preparing for davening, so we're going to have a harder time being able to daven well. And for him, that's why the images that will emotionally move us become something which is so important. That, parenthetically, is one of the reasons why so much about davening and davening well is not just focused on the words that we use or the halachas, but we have a makom kavua, a particular place, that we're able to daven with particular posture. Shmoneh Esrei is referred to as the amida, as standing, because all those things are not intellectually, it doesn't matter if you stand or you sit, it doesn't matter if it's the same place or a different place, but being in a certain zone, I'm standing 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, in my makom kavua, so those are the kinds of things which can bring up and help me cultivate certain emotional a certain sort of awareness, and for the Piazetz, they're really working on certain mental images, becomes very important. Let me just go over what we said, and then we will conclude. We've been for about, I think, 45 minutes was the time that I was told works. So we will try our best to be able to go over a little bit what we spoke about and maybe share a couple of thoughts. The world of our mind, of our machshava, can sometimes be overlooked because of the extent to which the world of halacha plays a dominant role and our speech becomes something which is so important. It's easy to overlook the realm of machshava. We know that our machshavas, that many mitzvahs are based in our machshava. The mitzvah of emunah is one really about what we think about, what we believe. Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim are not always mitzvahs that are about the actual, at least for many Rishonim, the physical actions that motivate us, you know, as a result of Ahavas. But it's about cultivating internally a certain love. There are mitzvahs that are based in machshava. But the world of imagination doesn't get that much press, and when it does, it often gets press in the negative. Be careful where your mind may lead you. Be careful of the world of machshavos zaros, impure or unfocused thoughts in davening. Be cautious about where your mind's going to go and pull yourself back in. Don't look at certain things because you may end up as a result thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. And a lot of the world of machshava sometimes is the feeling we get is it's more about what not to do as opposed to what to do. And the Piazetz, they're drawing on a mesorah of many, but we were noting Nomali Melech, we were noting his grandfather, the Mor of Shemesh, was a believer that if you know well how to develop certain images, the world of meditation, you know how to conjure up images, how to use those skills of how to focus my thoughts and channel my thoughts, what you will find is not just your individual actions will be actions of a higher quality. I'll daven better. I will learn better. But really in a more sweeping way, it has the opportunity to transform the nature of all of your avoda, because that image, that powerful piece in Tzav Zeros, the powerful piece about who is the ideal me come 1 year from now? What does that ideal me look like? So all of that is koveya. All of that establishes a whole lot. And if we're able to do a good job with it, so our thoughts can be good thoughts, our thoughts can be pure thoughts, our thoughts can be holy thoughts, and hopefully those of us that are at least intrigued by it, it's all over the writings of the Piazetz, there's Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova, it's in Achshav Savreichem, it's in a lot of his Sfarim. The power of trying to control what we think about, and to envision circumstances in advance, and to envision what we want, it's the beginning of the year. It's a wonderful trick for Elul, but certainly at the beginning of our Shana Bet, we're thinking about, I don't know how long we're going to be here for, and many of us don't know what exactly the year is going to look like, what are we going to be able to do and not be able to do, but none of that has to impact the version of ourselves that we hope to be, not necessarily left to right, but vertical, that what could my davening look like, what could my learning look like, what could all of that look like in a way which is very powerful, in a way which is very nice, and a way which is empowering. And if we're able to do a good job with that, we should be zocha to have a ksiva v'chsima tova. It should be a good elul and a good yamim nora'im for all of us. Thank you very much for the opportunity to learn a bit with you. I wish you so much hatzlacha on what should be a truly, truly wonderful, wonderful year.